friend of mine for many years, and he joined in Gainesville in 1973. And we were there at the Depot Avenue together. I remember when he built the Tulsi House. And then the last 7 years, he's been in Eastern Europe preaching and distributing books. And let's see, you were a the project manager for the BBT for the publication of the 11th and 12th cantos, plus some of the 10th. Is that it? All right. Oh, yeah. He's also a published author of a spiritual economics, Lessons in Spiritual Economics, that's based on the Bhagavad Gita.
Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapati. Gopika Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Ade Vrindavane Shri Shabanu Sute Devi Pranamami Adipiye Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Ade Vrindavane Shri Shabanu Sute Devi Pranamami Adipiye Pancha Kalpataru Vyasa Vipa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Havane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Pancha Kalpataru Vyasa Vipa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Gauranita 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 Jai Gauranita Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Jai Vishupada, Paramahamsa, Paravijakacharya, Suttara, Satsi, Shaman, Zvangai, Sisi, Bhakti, Viranda, Samishal, Bhavati, Ananta, Koti, Vaishnavindagi, Namacharya, Sadhardasa, Koti, Prime Sikh Sikhism Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Deti Gadan Harshivasa de Gola Bhakti Vindaki Sri Sri Radhakunda Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Sri Vindavan Dham Ki Sri Mayapur Navadip Dham Ki Vimanamaya Ki Gangamaya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Salveda Bhakti Vindaki Tulasi Maharani Ki Sri Sri Rajshamasandra Ki Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Nitai Gopi Premanandi All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Shri Gauranga. There's two verses today because the first verse doesn't have a purport, so we're going to chant responsibly with the second verse. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, The Killing of Dinaka, the Ass Demon. Text number 7 and 8. Nityantyami sukina idyamudya. How's it go? Nityantyami sukina idyamudya harinya. No? That's not the right one, is it? Right meter? What's the right meter, Nagaraj? Nityantyami. Sikina ija mudaharinya. Nityantyami sikina ija mudaharinya. Urvanti gopya iva te priyam ikshanena. Suktai shaki koki lagana ginam agataya. Danya vanu vano kashayan hisatam nisarga. Translation, O worshipable one, these peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. The doe are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And these cuckoos are honoring you with the Vedic prayers. All these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior toward you certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. Text number 8. Janyeya madhya dharani trina virudastvat. Janyeya madhya dharani trina virudastvat. Paros piso dumanatta. Karaja bimishta. Paras pishodu malata karajam bimishta. Nadyo daya kagamrigya saraya valakar. Na jo daya ka gamriga sadaya valokar. Gopyon nintena pujayor apiyat spisa sri. Gopyon trayena pujayor apiyat spisa sri. Jayena madhya dharani trina virudastvat. Paras prishodu malata karajam bimishta. Nadyo jaya kagmigat sadaya valakar. Gopyo nantai nitrena bhujayor apiyat spihasri. Yani e yamadya dharani trina virudastvat. Adas pisho dumalata karacham bimishta. Nadyo duya kagamrigya sadaya valokar. Gopyon nitena bhujayor apiyat spihasri. Prabhus.
Thank you.
which was... Fortunate. Iyam. This. Adya. Now. Dharani. The earth. Trina. Her grasses. Virudaha. And bushes. Tvat. Your. Hara. Of the feet. Sprisha. Receiving the touch. Duma, the trees. Bataha, and creepers. Karaja, by your fingernails. Abhimishta, touched. Nadya, the rivers. Adraya, and mountains. Gaga, the birds. Riga, and animals. Sadaya, merciful. Avalokai, by your glances. Gopya, the gopis. Antarena, in between. Bhujayo, your two arms. Api, indeed. Yat, for which. Spriha, maintains the desire. She, the goddess of fortune. Translation. This earth has become most, has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, and because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. Please repeat. The earth has now become most fortunate.
The earth has now become most fortunate.
Because you have touched her grass, bushes, grass and bushes with your feet. And her trees and creepers with your fingernails. And because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals. With your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women with your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. Purport. The word Adya, now, indicates the time of Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna's appearance on the earth. In his form of Lord Varaha, Lord Krishna personally saved the earth, and indeed the earth is understood to rest perpetually on the potency of Shesha. Both Varaha and Shesha are expansions of Balaram, who is himself an expansion of Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna's statement that this earth has now become most fortunate, yayena yade dharyani, indicates that nothing can equal the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his personal form as Krishna appearing simultaneously with his plenary expansion, Balaram. The compound word, Karajambimrishta, touched by your fingernails, indicates that as Krishna and Balaram would move through the forest, they would pick fruits and flowers from the trees, bushes, and creepers, and use this paraphernalia in their pleasure pastimes. Sometimes they would break leaves off of the plants and use them with the flowers to decorate their bodies. Krishna and Balaram would glance lovingly and mercifully at all the rivers, hills, creatures in Vrindavan. But the blessings received by the gopis, being embraced directly by the Lord's arms, was the supreme benediction, desired even by the goddess of fortune herself. The goddess of fortune, who lives in Vaikuntha on the chest of Lord Narayan, once desired to be embraced on the chest of Sri Krishna, and thus she performed severe austerities to achieve this blessing. Sri Krishna informed her that her actual place was in Vaikuntha, and that it was not possible for her to dwell on his chest in Vrindavan. Therefore, she begged Krishna to allow her to remain on his chest in the form of a golden line, and he granted her this benediction. Srila Vaishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur recounts this incident from the Puranas. Omaganata mananda sha gananjana shilakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovisam sapitam yena bhutale sayam upakadamayam dadate svapatantikam. Somebody bring me some water, please. Thank you. So this chapter is beginning the Pauganda pastimes of the Lord. Pauganda is the ages between 6 and 10 years of age. And at this time, recognizing Krishna's becoming an older boy, the cowherd men allowed Krishna and his friends then to begin taking the cows to pasture. Previously, they were taking the calves, and now, because they're a little bit bigger, they're allowed to take the cows. This is somewhat amazing, actually, if we think of modern-day boys, 6 years old, going with cows. Any of you who have been around those animals, you know, the cows are pretty big, but perhaps those boys were more experienced, having dealt with the calves in their youth, so-called youth. Even I don't know what age they begin to go, three or four years old, where they go with the calves. The calves themselves are quite difficult to control, even when they're young. But probably because this is Krishna and his friends taking care of the calves out of love and affection, they're well behaved. These pastimes are also, this is Krishna pastimes with his boyhood friends in Sakiras. They use the pasturing of the cows, the calves and the cows, as a context for the exchange of their loving relationships. For the boys and Krishna, the whole the significant part of their daily activities was not so much the cows. The cows would basically take care of themselves and eating grass and so on, but the boys use this as an opportunity to exchange loving dealings with Krishna. And what the nature of those dealings with Krishna is actually very wonderful. Wonderful in that the boys, they had complete faith in Krishna, so much so that they were willing to go anywhere and everywhere without any fear. For example, when Aga was there, the Agasura, the big snake demon, they were first looking at it from far away, wondering, what is that thing? It looks like a big cave. Oh no, look, it's a snake. Oh, well, let's go inside his mouth. Huh? And they were thinking like that, oh, well, maybe if we go in there, that snake will swallow us. And then, yeah, but Krishna's with us. And if that happens, Krishna, he'll take care of it. So, that, of course, that's exactly what happened. Agasura was sitting there waiting for Krishna the boys to enter his mouth with the intention of swallowing them and doing away with Krishna. Agasura, of course, sent by King Kamsa. But just as the boys had predicted, when Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, he was immediately expanded his size, so the snake began to choke. And the boys, once they were inside, they were a little, of course, dazed. They came out a little bewildered, but realizing that, yes, again, Krishna has saved us. And so in this chapter, again, they're basically engaging Krishna. They said, Krishna, Balaram, there's some nice fruits in this forest, but we can't go there because of the demons there. So why don't you take care of those demons? And so Krishna and Balaram, they go there, and that's exactly what they did. So for the boys, their exchange with Krishna is one of intimate friends. They are depending on Krishna and Balaram completely for protection. And the wonderful feature this relationship, actually, ladies probably aren't going to be able to appreciate this rasa, but the men will. Because as young boys, all you men, you remember that we used to have our friends, and we would go and sport and play in various ways. And the play was actually amounts to challenging each other and having fights sometimes, doing various activities, challenging, playing games. The nice feature about this is that between boys, this affection can grow very, very close. Much more different than as we grow up when we become men. You know, our relationships are just not as tight as they once were when we were kids. And so Krishna takes this time, this age, this Pragonda age, for the time of sharing these loving exchanges with his friends. The other wonderful aspect about these relationships with Krishna is that he knows how to reciprocate exactly according to the desire of his devotee. And this is something that many ways spoils our relationships here in the material world. You know, of course, many of our personal exchanges, the joy that we get out of them often comes as a result of anticipation. We're anticipating some way of exchanging with the other, but then when we get to the actual situation, things are not quite what we thought they might be. You made me remember. Maybe some of you saw this movie Shrek. Huh? Happened to catch this one transatlantic flight one time. So Shrek is he goes to rescue the damsel in distress. And to get there, of course, he has to fight the dragon and so on. So he gets up to the part of the castle where the damsel is. And his job is actually, he's not going there to rescue her for himself, but for the king. He's been deputed by the king to bring her back. So he's, after, you know, slaying the dragon and going through all that, he's really not in a romantic mood. But the girl, she's anticipating. Prince Charming is coming. He's going to come and like with Sleeping Beauty, right? He's going to come and kiss me and sweep me off my feet and so on like that. So she prepares herself. She gets all smooths herself out and lays down on the bed and just waits in anticipation that he's going to come in and romance her. But it's nothing like that. Instead, he comes in, he grabs her. Come on, it's time to go. Let's go, right? So all of her anticipation is changed to dust. She's saying, wait, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Right? So all of our relationships are practically always like this, that we anticipate it's going to be some particular way, but it's not at all. It becomes, less than satisfying or less than we hoped it might be. But in the spiritual world with Krishna, it's entirely different. Actually, Krishna is the best friend because he understands the mood and the heart of his devotees, and he reciprocates with them exactly according to their desire. And so their anticipation is always fulfilled. Their desires are always fulfilled. And in this way, Krishna, he's engaged all the time in trying to please his devotee in whatever even small, minuscule thing that he can do for the pleasure of his devotee. So this is also, we want to be able to enter in this relationship in the same way, to be able to reciprocate with Krishna exactly according to his desire. To be able to begin to, we think about what Krishna like. And we can do this particularly when we're engaged in deity worship. It's so nice to see how the deities are decorated so beautifully. And I asked this morning who makes the garlands, because these garlands are so beautiful. And they're such a wonderful decoration for the Lord. And so I'm sure that the pujaris who are decorating the deities, they're thinking about what would Krishna like? You know? How would this he would look nice like this? Or, let me make the flowers like this, or this hair like that, or so on like this. And then cooking also, and cooking for the Lord, we can think, what would Krishna like? How can we do it for him, for his pleasure? How can we make it extra special? So we begin to enter into that same mood of reciprocating with the Lord exactly in the same way that he's reciprocating with us. How to please the Lord, how to act in such a way so that the Lord becomes pleased. So this is when we hear these pastimes, they're meant to actually invoke the same kind of consciousness within us, that we can enter into them. And by doing that, in reading these pastimes, actually this prepares our next body to be able to enter into those pastimes with the Lord ourselves. Anyway, why don't we stop there? We're going to have some discussion.
Hare Krishna, yeah. So also, it seems like all living entities are the servant of Krishna. The birds, the bees, the deer, the flowers, the parrots, the mountains, the earth, everything, see? And so here is a good example of how they're reciprocating with him. See, So this is like a window to the spiritual world, Vrindavan. See, so you see, like in a book called Govinda Lilamrita, you get a really nice explanation of how these entities are reciprocating with Krishna. See, like the cuckoos singing beautifully, the deers glancing and moving. This is a nice example of how the living entities are serving the Lord and wanting to serve and so forth.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you for the garland story. It just reminded me, I was talking to Goro Keshavu one time, that in South India they have a common feelings among the girls, young girls, that they think that Lord may come to marry one girl, like the episode you said. But this is true, it happens. That in Sri Rangam temple there was a pujari who used to make garlands every day. And he would make garlands. They didn't have mirrors, those days no mirrors were invented. But his daughter used to make the garland instead of him.
So how do you mean meters? No meters.
Mirrors.
Oh, mirror. Oh,
to see.
Okay.
So this little girl, she used to make the garland and she would put it on
heart and go to the well to see how it looks like.
Mm.
So then she would come and give it to her father. But her father did not know all these things going on. Every day she does that. So he took the garland and gave it to the pujari. And pujari put it on Lord's neck. And then he noticed there is a long hair. So he was disturbed, and then he called this other pujari who was making the garland. He said, "Hey, you don't have a long hair. Why you got the long hair?" Then he said, "Well, my daughter helps me to make the garland." "Well, this is not good. How this long hair from her come to, and we cannot offer like this." So he did not, he took it off. He was going to put it on, not completely put it on, but took it off and gave it. At some or other, at that time, he went, he told this to the other pujari. Other pujari went and told the daughters and said, "You should not have done this. How this hair from your head comes to the garland?" "So, well, I take the garland, father, and I look at in the well how he looks like. And if I am not satisfied, I change the decoration, you know, what do you call, sequence."
Mm-hmm.
"And so this is I've been doing for years. You were just asking me first time." "Oh, I had no idea. You're not supposed to. You put on the garland on yourself and look at it." "So how I will know?" So she was talking back to her father. "So well, that's not proper. You're supposed to offer it. You never put on your own neck to see it." "Well, I want to see how he looks like. Otherwise, how will you do this?" So then anyway, in the meantime, the pujari closed the temple and he went to, he was tired, he took a nap. In the dream, the Lord came, first time in his life. He said, "Hey, if you don't bring that garland to put it on me, nobody can offer any garland to me. And make an arrangement," this was the first time, "make a big wedding ceremony that I want to marry that girl because she has so much love. That love actually what I was counting, not the flower." So did you get it? So he immediately got up from the dream and then he told the father, and it was like a big episode, never happened before in the history of that temple. So they made a huge festival of wedding ceremony where the Lord literally married a human girl. But it was not a human girl out of her ecstasy love. So this practice is real, and this really executed in South India, that temple.
How did it happen? How did it happen that the Lord came and married the girl?
Well, the pujari actually married. Pujari actually brought the girl in front of the Lord.
Okay.
And then they had an exchange. And at one point, the girl could see that Lord is even blinking his eyes and everything. But mm-hmm. nobody else could see it. Because she developed a relationship through her feelings.
Yeah.
So this is real. This is not just a story.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, such a nice class. Thanks. You know, at the end you were saying how Krishna will reciprocate exactly according to our desire.
Mm.
In the material world, there's a perverted reflection. Sometimes we got a preview of it in the book Brave New World, but we're actually seeing the technology now coming. I think he described that people would, instead of going to the movies, they would go to the feelies and they would be strapped in and their skin sensation would correspond with what's on the screen. So how is, because even science fiction writers, they're saying, oh yes, and they're making some dystopia, a world where you just plug yourself in and become the hero or heroine of your favorite, you know, movie scene. So can you explain how Krishna's exactly reciprocating with us according to our desire is different than that, please?
Well, the demons, they want to actually take the place of Krishna, so they try to invent different ways to function as if the super soul, to be everywhere at the same time, to know what's going on in the minds of everyone, and you know, in this way, as you're explaining, you know, to be able to to accomplish these same things, but without Krishna. Of course, previously the yogis they would do their austerities to get these mystic cities, like walking on water. And Prabhupada said, well, nowadays the scientists, they've created a way everybody can walk on water. You can walk on water, you can dance on water, you can, you know, sing on water, because you simply go in these big ships. So they like to do that. Now, how is Krishna doing it? Krishna is doing it personally. Huh? He's doing it, why? Because he's in the heart of the devotee and he understands the mood, the feeling, the desire of the devotee. And so it's a personal reciprocation. All of this imitation is not done personally. It's done through some technology. And of course, as living spiritual beings, we can't have rasa with a machine, right? You can only have rasa between the two of the same species. So in order to actually have this feeling of loving exchange, it has to be with a person. It can't be, we can't get this experience from some machine or some technology that's going to give us some memory, right? Of some experience that never happened, they have the idea, they think that this is the same thing, that this is equivalent. If you've got a memory of something, even if it's false, it's as good as the real thing. But of course it's not true. It's just a memory. And the experience is not one of the mind. The experience that we want to have is one from the heart. Heart-to-heart connection with Krishna, not some mental memory of something that didn't happen. So Krishna, also Krishna, what does he want? The same thing. Krishna, he has so many energies. He's the master of all the material energy, and he could, you know, do the same thing if he wanted that. But Krishna's, what he does for joy is reciprocate with all of his parts and parcels, all the living entities. Krishna takes no pleasure in experiencing the material energy. He doesn't, you know, come down to the material world to go skiing or surfing or, you know, skydiving or something. He's not interested in that. What he wants is a loving exchange. And that's what we want also, because we're part and parcel to him. These material experiences, although they may be exciting for some time, ultimately, they cannot satisfy us. People become dissatisfied with that, and then they look for something else. So it's quite different. I mean, the entire experience is different. Krishna is reciprocating directly, person to person, heart to heart, with his devotees. Is that okay?
I was also thinking it's similar to her question is, how does love work? How does someone satisfy your desire? So you had mentioned in that, and I was also thinking of cling kama devaya vime, that line there kind of like gives you a glimpse of how that works. So we're supposed to think about that or meditate on it or 30 times a day. You know, that line.
What's the English? Translation? Oh yeah, right. Okay.
Thank you.
Something else?
I was going to suggest about that book, which used to be one of my favorite books.
Brave New World?
Brave New World, yeah. Huxley. He was actually a yogi, and he studied the Vedas. And the whole thing is a statement about sense gratification and taking it to the extreme. You know, if we had all the technology in the world to have really nice sense gratification, what would that be like? So that was a statement on that. I don't know that he knew the term sense gratification, but he felt that it was written like in the 1930s, that society was becoming extremely like soulless and lacked spirituality. So he was trying to show like the future, like what it would become if we're just focusing on sense pleasures. And so, you know, the whole thing ends quite disastrously. So, I mean, I just thought that was so, that just like struck me even before I was like into yoga, you know, like, wow, that's so true. Like, even if we had access to all this, you know, sense gratification in the world, like, we could not really be happy. And it also makes us to not put emphasis on personal relationships and what really satisfies the heart. So it was like such a brilliant book to me. I don't know. It was before I knew anything about, you know, yoga or anything.
Thank you. One more.
Thank you very much for such a nice class, Prabhu. I was just reading in Bhaktivedanta Swami's new book, Surrender, yesterday, and he was talking about reciprocation between devotees and Krishna. And he was saying that it's not so much how much work we do for Krishna, because Krishna is not looking for workers. In one sense, he is. But it's the consciousness while we're doing the work. And that's so important.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the idea. Krishna consciousness. To be conscious of Krishna in everything that we do. Not just to be conscious of Krishna as a person. A person with feelings. A person just like us. And to think how we can please Krishna. This should be the goal of our activity. Okay, we have to stop. Thank you very much for your association. Nice to see you again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Figure it out if I get it.
Also,
Right.